Excellent. It's lovely to see you all. And we've got some ball patch inspectors up on the balcony there, looking down upon you. You can't see mine. There you go. It's lovely to see you. Anybody feeling a bit tense and a bit, you know, it's just relax a moment. It's a strange time, isn't it? But it's so good to come together, those who can, to be here. And we think also those who are at home, those who are listening to this recording, in different places, we are gathered and scattered on this third Sunday in Advent. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together in various different ways, to be with you, to worship you. Pray that you would shine your face upon us, that we might see you in your glory, might understand something more of your love and hope, joy and peace. Amen. We've got a couple of notices today. Firstly, tonight, we've been praying for the weather. I don't know if you've been praying for the weather to move. And we've seen a shift in the rain, and now we need to see a reduction in the wind, because we've got drive-in carols at the Key West car park. It was happening all through late summer through to October, a service every Sunday with the council's blessing in the car park, led by Church 180, and Paul Hobson at Church 180, together with four other churches, including our own, are now joining together to have drive-in carols. So do encourage people that you know to drive along. There are so many people this year who want to partake in something real about Christmas. Already I've been hearing about people listening to the Southwest Carols online, the services that happened last weekend. This is another way that we can share the light. So do tell people about drive-in carols tonight. Gates open at 4:30. It'll start at 5, finish at 6, and we hope to be singing under the stars. We can't sing here, but we can sing there. And that brings me on to next Saturday. We need worshippers. Worshippers to sing carols outside. Another opportunity to sing. We're going to meet in the Victoria Square near Lidl. We've encouraged other churches to send people along as well. Just an opportunity to reach out into the community in worshipping, reminding people what Christmas is about. And there will be some booklets, Christmas booklets, leaflets, and some Christmas stories wrapped up for the children that they'll be able to take. We'll probably put them on a table so they can come and get them, because we've got to do everything in the right way. But if you can come along, I say I want worshippers rather than singers, because I don't care about the quality of your voice. What we want is worshippers, because people know. Have you seen, have you ever watched Songs of Praise, or you see other songs on the television, other shows on the television? Can you not tell when somebody believes what they're singing about? It shines. So we not only shine here as we sing or speak words or worship, we can go out there and we can mean what we sing. We can mean the carols. Everyone else is singing them, playing them, so we should be the ones doing it because we really mean it. So if you can, come along, 10:15 to pray, 10:30 to 11:30, just an hour. Come along and be there just for a short time. Would be great. I don't know how many. If we get more than 30, then we'll say, right, come back in half an hour and we'll swap, because you can have up to 30. So don't hold off coming. Do come. Between 10:30 and 11:30. Now, I haven't asked the Jessops in advance, but I'm hoping that with their practice last week, they got really good at it, that in a moment they're going to be prepared to light the candles again, because we like to involve our children. And we like to have child labour. No, we don't. We like to have our children doing things. And so, in a moment, if you're happy to, great, excellent. So, we're going to light today three candles. And the first candle was for
patriarchs.
Not a word you use very often, is it? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a family that through whom their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson was Jesus. So Jesus came into a real family, prepared well in advance by God. The second candle will be for who? The prophets. They prepared the way by being inspired by the Holy Spirit and speaking the word of the Lord. Somebody said apparently there's 118 prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. And I think it was somebody who said, if you just looked at the 8 of them that were fulfilled by Jesus on the day of his birthday, and you looked at the probability of that, it would be some number to the power of about 15 noughts or something. It just is amazing that Jesus has fulfilled every one of the Old Testament prophecies. And so we remember that at Christmas time, that this isn't just happened to happen at the right, you know, a good time. It was exactly the right time. Now the third candle is for who? Oh, they're getting good at this year. Excellent. John the Baptist. He was sent, a prophet sent by God, as a voice in the desert to prepare the way for Jesus, who was the true light coming in to the world. And Zechariah, when he got his voice back, you can read the full story in Luke chapter 1, he sang a song which finishes with these words, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." So could you do your duty, please, Jessup family? For those who don't know, it's Paul, Liz, and Connie. I see Liz has learnt before this time. She's not got the shield this time, so not. Excellent. Thank you. It's the third one today. Round of applause for the Jessup family, please. We could have done what my daughter did for her daughter on her birthday celebration yesterday, which is put relighting candles in. That would have been really fun, wouldn't it? But the just hear those words again. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will shine your light into our darkness. Thank you that we don't have to be pretend to be fine, everything to be a plastic smile. Lord, thank you that we can be real with you. And we pray that you will shine into our darkness today, that we might see you in your glory and know that you'll bring us through this time, that you have a future for us to give us hope. Amen. So our first song for us to join in with is "Light of the World." Feel free to stand. Let's pray. Do feel free to express words of worship. Our masks are there to protect one another, but they mustn't stifle our voices. So if you want to speak out, speak out.
Lord, we thank you for that song which embraces our remembrance of Jesus as a baby, but at the same time, Jesus upon the cross. Thank you, Lord. for the whole gospel in you, and for all your love for us. Amen.
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 Your word says that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because you are with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Those words in the end of the song say, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And it's in that sense of wonder that we're going to present our offering now. We're not able to take our offering up from each one of you today, but we're going to bring up the offering that you've already contributed to. It's a response of love to Jesus who loves us. And if you can put it on the table for us, Jackie. Lord, we thank you that you have given us material gifts. Thank you for food and drink, for the homes we live in, clothes we wear. We thank you that you've given us material things, a sign of your love. And we want to give you back some of the money you've given us. And we ask you that it be multiplied, that many more will know your love this Christmas and throughout next year. Amen.
Amen.
Right, Jeff and Anne are going to bring our reading to us today.
Well, our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And that is on page 1025. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin."
The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail."
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you, Jeff and Anne. The activity packs we got today, which Connie's got, she's got one of them, it's another picture. Can I just borrow it? Just a sec. I don't want a bit of paper. I just want maybe the. Sorry, I can have that there. Lovely, thank you. So that's it there, and it's just a black and white outline. But what Connie's going to do as she colours between the lines is bring it to life, and that's what. That's what we ask God to do, isn't it? To bring the story to life. We've just heard a story. It's just words on a page. But by the Holy Spirit, it can come to life. So let's pray as Connie's doing her drawing and colouring, as we're doing our listening, and Sheila's doing her speaking, that the Word of God will come to life. Father, that's our prayer. Thank you for this written account of what really happened. Thank you for this prophetic word spoken thousands of years ago that still speaks to us today by your Spirit. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church and to each one of us individually through Sheila and through our listening. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I can see your eyes, but I can't see your smiles. And I mentioned that to somebody the other day, and they said, "Well, tell them to do that. Come on. Come on. Great." Sometimes with children, you know, they can't always say how they're feeling, but sometimes just that. And that means a lot to me, because when my brother was passing away and going to be with the Lord, he sat there and went, "It means a lot, you know. It's a funny thing to do. And years ago, we wouldn't have done it in church." But, you know, it says a lot. I'm good. I'm happy. It's okay. So although I can't see your smiles, and I do love smiles, as you know, you can see mine, and I hope mine is bright this morning, and although it's a dull morning. But this morning, we're going to hear a story that is so familiar. And I often think, for those of us who were brought up in church many years ago, we know these stories so well. But don't switch off. Ask God to show you just one thing out of the sermon this morning. So on the walls of an old Swiss church hangs a somewhat curious yet wonderful picture. The artist tried to paint a subject which was impossible for him to depict. He wanted to show God the Father, And in the painting, he is shown in the act of throwing down a tiny baby to the people of the waiting earth. Just imagine that. Now, we have a picture that's a little bit like that, that a member of our church did many years ago. God bringing down a tiny baby to the people of the waiting world. Nothing has changed. That tiny baby still has that power to save you. So isn't this not what the incarnation is actually all about? At the town of Bethlehem was the biggest giving. Now, I came into church this morning and there was only about four of us here, and it was lovely, it was nice and peaceful and really great, you know. And after about half an hour, I walked past the door to go into the next door, and somebody handed me something. And it's a Christmas gift. Now, I could be very naughty and open it now, but I won't do that because I have no idea what's there. But it was a gift. And God has given us a gift. And looking round at you, I know a lot of you know that. But how much do you appreciate that gift that God has brought? I'm going to be very good. The people that gave me this morning, I do promise not to open it until Christmas morning. And I will try to be a good girl. But let's just go back. So, at the town of Bethlehem was that biggest giving that has ever or ever could be. You can't outgive God. God gave his best, his only son. That was the greatest gift. Greatest moment of time when God, the Son, appeared on earth as a human baby, holding out a pair of tiny hands. So let's go back in time. 6 BC was a very bad time to live in Judah. Herod the Great had seized the throne of Israel with political support from Rome. Then once in power, he guarded his stolen title, King of the Jews. He was so ruthless, he even put his own sons to death when they posed a significant threat, political threat. It was time of unprecedented economic and political advancement for the rich and horrific oppression for everyone else. By the first century BC, a dark cloud had settled over Israel, blocking any ray of hope. You know, sometimes when things go wrong in life and things happen to us and you know, home issues, health issues, whatever it might be for you, sometimes there can be a blackness that can come over us. That is not from God. Because God gives light and life. If ever you're feeling low, and at the moment it's hard, isn't it? Because one thing, I do miss hugs, I have to say. I'm not an over-the-top huggy-huggy, but I do like hugs. And I have missed hugs of love and kindness. But Jesus loves you. So here it was, blocking any ray of hope. But God had his plan. Always remember that. God has his plan. And it starts with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, of course, was a humble village girl who lived in the village of Nazareth, a small place so insignificant that led Nathanael to say, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Many of you know I lived in a town in Warwickshire, and if you lived a certain side of the river, you weren't very upper class, you were lower class. And I learned that at a very early age, that those that lived the other side of the river, oh, they were posh. But us that lived, we weren't quite so posh. It's amazing how things can creep in, isn't it? But Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Mary was of the tribe of Judah and the line of David. Mary, as the mother of Jesus, is better known than any other female character in the Bible. So what about a selection? Why did God choose Mary amongst all the godly Jewish maidens? Why? Why? The gentle and lowly Mary of Nazareth was the Father's choice. God's choice. Not man's. God's choice. Her heart was right before God. Mary then was selected by divine wisdom, not by man's wisdom. Don't we need divine wisdom in our day today? We really do. Mary became the mother of the Saviour of mankind, and it was prophesied that it would be so. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's a fantastic verse. So what about her sanctity? Because Mary's divine child was to be holy, harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners, she herself had to be holy unto the Lord. Her heart was right before God. Is yours? It was during her betrothal period between the vows and the marriage vow that her husband took her into his home that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Try to think about that for a little bit. Conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. God had his plan. When Gabriel announced to Mary that she was to bring forth a son to be called Jesus, the greeting completely confused her. I think it would have confused me. Excuse me. Confused her. A peasant girl, highly favoured by God. Teenage girls occupied a very low status in ancient times. But God again had his plan. Man would have chosen somebody that was higher. Man would have chosen somebody that probably was, you know, much posher than Mary, if you like, to put it in our terminology. But God had his plan. But Mary's heart was right before God. Mary would not have missed the significance of the angel's words after centuries of what undoubtedly felt like God's silence. God's silence, when things don't appear to be happening on the spiritual sphere at all. Mary learned that she would be the mother of the Messiah. They were waiting for a Messiah to come. They were waiting for it. A bit like us when we're saying, we want a vaccine, please, Lord, for COVID. And we're waiting. We're waiting. There's one arrived and there's others in the pipeline, but we're waiting. Sometimes when God is silent, the waiting time is one of the hardest times, particularly if you know and love the Lord. You think, God, what's going on? And the Jewish race were waiting for a Messiah. But Mary was greatly troubled at the angel's words. But the angel said, and I like, God always does this, always. do not be afraid. I'd be terrified. Angel says, do not be afraid. In our situation now, don't be afraid. God is in control. I don't know why it's happening, but all I know is I need to trust God in it, whatever situation may arise. Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. Have you experienced God's favor on your life in various ways? If you haven't, he wants to show his favor upon you, but your heart needs to be right. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. This was a teenage girl, but she wasn't stupid. She knew something of life. How will this be since I am a virgin? It's impossible. Come on, now. The answer, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The power of God will overshadow her. When we were little, we used to like making shadows. I don't know whether you did when you were little. But when the sun was out, we used to like making shadows. And then we'd those we were making shadows with, we'd jump on the shadows, and then the person had moved and the shadow was gone. But you know, when the shadow of God comes over you in your life, it's amazing. It's real. It's not something airy fairy and, you know, might happen. No, it's real, because God touches your heart. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The only way it could happen was by the power of the Holy Spirit. This was in God's plan. And, you know, with all this happening, the angel brings a word of encouragement. Isn't it great when we get a word of encouragement? I love it. I love it. Just something very simple. Something very simple. Maybe something practical. Maybe just a word of encouragement, or a phone call, or a text message, email, whatever the new technology is nowadays. But when you get something like that that encourages you, praise God for it. Sometimes we ask God for lots of stuff, and he answers our prayers, and we forget to say thank you. He encourages. That word of encouragement for Mary was about her cousin. Verse 36, the angel said, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. This was a miracle. And she who was said to be barren in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? You don't have to answer me, I'm just posing a question. Do you believe that? I'm often challenged. I've known the Lord since I was 9. And have grown, you know, over many, many years in the Lord. And I've learned a lot. But I still have to ask that question. Do I believe that nothing is impossible with God? Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is in control now, this time in our lives? Well, how can it be? Because I'm really struggling this morning. He's still in control. We still need to trust. So what was Mary's response? It wasn't, oh dear, I've got to go and see Joseph now. What on earth is he going to say? Oh dear, well, I've got to do this. Oh, I've got to get this ready. Got to do that. No, no, no. That was not her first response. Her first response was to the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She was willing to believe and trust God. Are you in these difficult times? It's tough times, if we're honest. But God is still right there with us. Because he's promised never to leave us or forsake us. Bless her. She was willing to believe and trust God. Are you? Am I? But you know, once she realized that she could believe and trust God, then comes the praise. The praise. My soul glorifies the Lord. She was glad. Her trust made her glad. When I was a lot younger, which was many years ago, we used to go to different churches, and I used to sing in a group and that sort of thing. So we used to go to different churches, and some churches you'd get a really good positive reaction. You knew that you were touching them. And this was years ago, when drums and guitars were not necessarily the thing to do. But some churches you'd go into, as soon as you stepped inside the door, you could sense the Holy Spirit. And that challenged me for many years. You see, what was the difference between them and them? And over the years, as I moved to know the Lord more, I realised what it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. But she could glorify the Lord because it was in her. It was just, it had got to come out. You know, like a child, if a child gets excited, they jump up and down, don't they? Now, I don't know what you do when you get excited, whether you jump up and down, or whether you raise your arms, but whatever it is, has your soul so glorified the Lord? You don't need to answer me, I'm just asking questions. Then comes her praise. My soul glorifies the Lord. She was glad. Her trust made her glad. Verse 48, she knew about God's care. She knew about God's care. 49-52, she realized that God is all-powerful. She would have learned how the Jews were rescued from the Egyptians and all the Old Testament stories, you know? She would have known them. God is all-powerful. Do you believe God is all-powerful? Well, I do, because I shouldn't be standing here today. But people pray over me, so I'm standing here today. And you know, God is all powerful. His Holy Spirit is all powerful. She knows that God is loving. Not in a such sentimental way, although sometimes that can, he can be like that, he can feel like that. But in a strong, loving way. She rejoiced that he is faithful. God is the same today, and we can trust him completely in all things. So let us remember that wonderful gift of eternal life. Why did Jesus come? To give eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you walk out that door this morning and have a heart attack and die, where will you go? Will you go to be with the Lord, or will you go to hell? Two choices. I know it's not a nice thing to say at Christmas, but it's very true. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we need to put our trust in him. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. You, I tell you now, is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. I used to speak to people sometimes and used to say, no, I'm not coming to Jesus, I'll wait till I get older. We never know when our life goes. We never know that time. I used to think, yeah, how? It's all right for you, mate, to stand up there preaching, but how do I do it? Because I'm a very practical-minded thinking person, and I need to know the how of doing something. And I used to sit there for a long time. But it is very easy, really, A, B, C, admit that you have sinned. What sin? Going against God. In thought, word, and deed. Admit that we have sinned. Believe Jesus died for your sins. God had his plan, and that plan was sending Jesus. We think of him now as a tiny baby, but as we heard in that song, he grew up to be a man, and he died on the cross to take away your sin, to make you clean inside. So admit that you've sinned. Believe Jesus died for your sins. Come to the cross and say, sorry, and repent. Stephen shared about repentance last week, and he stood up and turned around. That was quite a powerful thing, and that's been done a number of times. But as I sat there, that was quite powerful. Say sorry, and repent, and come. God will forgive because of Jesus. You may have heard about Jesus when you were little, perhaps in the Sunday school or in the church group or whatever it might be. And you knew about Jesus, but you haven't given your life to Jesus. You haven't opened your heart to Jesus like Mary did. Her heart was pure before God, and only Jesus and the blood of the cross can bring that cleansing and that pureness in your life. So God sent Jesus as Saviour for you because he loves you. Amen.
Let's just have a moment to reflect on what Sheila's brought us. Thank you that we can all come to you wherever we are today for forgiveness, for strength. Jesus, we fix our eyes on you. Thank you for your great love. Amen. We've got an opportunity now to join in with Mary's prophetic song of worship. You may have heard a bit earlier, Joy played this song. It's Tell Out My Soul, sort of a modern paraphrase of what she was saying. And so as these words are sung for us, they'll be on the screen as usual. Just speak out your heart of praise to the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it, that a teenage girl is inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that because of the birth of this child, the whole world will be turned upside down. Powers and dominions will have their glory laid down. We have the opportunity now to pray for God's kingdom to come, for the world to be turned perhaps the right way up. There are big situations and little situations. There's people in need. There's the whole Brexit. Everything is turning around, and we need to turn to the Lord. So we have an opportunity now just to pray. Some of you may want to pray things quietly. Some of you might want to say it out loud so we can say amen to it. But let's pray for the kingdom of God to come into our situation. Let's pray for those who are oppressed and suffering, lonely and afraid, for those who need hope and don't know where to find it.
Father, you have said that the government will be upon your shoulders. And Father, we just say now that thy will be done in all situations, with COVID, with Brexit, with local things that are going on. But Father, we just say your will be done, because the government is on your show people that you have the answers. They just need to trust. Well, we just pray for the ones who are housebound at the moment. Housebound permanently, but housebound because they don't feel safe out of their way to go out. Lord, you know who they all are, and you know that this Christmas some aren't looking forward to it. But we pray, Lord, that you'll move into those homes where people are lonely and don't know what to do about anything. I pray, Lord, if they call on you, you will answer them, you will come to them. And help us to remember them, not only in prayer, but in ways of visiting or talking over the phone, whatever, Lord. We pray for all those who love you and who are finding it difficult at this time.
The Lord as one in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I think more than ever this year, Advent has been a time of focusing on the light in the darkness. And our final song speaks of that same message. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. May the light of Christ shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Today, throughout Advent, Christmas, and into the new year. Amen.